At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Fired up. Camp days and preseason prep time as the walk up to regular seasons begin all over the country, every level. High school, college, pro, all the work is being done. And there's a place that you can come to line up and get information. Say how you feel, DP, Coach Barry Thompson, 402-464-5685, starter Hypotech Line. You want to be a part of what we're doing? You can jump live on the stream. Hello. Nebraska. Want to follow on Facebook, X, YouTube, Amazon Prime, whatever you feel like, whatever way you consume what you do, that's where we will be. The only proper way to set the tone, the mood, yet, is this, Harrison, if you would.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Let the drum play. Calvary, light up! The black and silver in the house, BT.
Coach, there we go. There we go. New Orleans barbecue shrimp, baby. Let's go.
Hey, man. Hey, I have been chastised in private because a favorite thing was formed with you here in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I have been remiss in allowing you to excel and shine in a space that Husker fans have become accustomed. So, Coach, let me ask you a question before we get into football. What's the coach cooking these days, baby?
Gosh, the last thing I make, we're getting ready to make some New Orleans barbecue shrimp. There's a lot of different recipes out there. Look at them. They're easy to make. Just to let you – it does involve a grill. It involves some Creole seasoning. It involves some Worcestershire sauce. It involves some garlic, maybe some onions. It involves – a little bit of rosemary, a little bit of thyme, whatever your spice blend is in there. Those are your wet ingredients. You put the shrimp in the pot there, let it soak up all those juices. At a certain point, you're going to put in a large amount of butter, and all that becomes a sauce. And then you pull that out, you sprinkle it with a little bit of maybe parsley if you want, a few green onions, and you get yourself a good, nice, crusty French bread to sop up all the goodness that's left. And if you're not scared, and if you can find them, it's better with the heads-on shrimp, right? The heads-on, you pop the head when you eat it, but all that fat and that juiciness that's in there. Also add some stock to it. A lot of different ways to make it. I'll probably be making it tomorrow, and I'll post a picture. New Orleans barbecue shrimp.
Let that man cook. Let that man cook. Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. George is here on the ticket. Appreciate you, brother. We've been having these discussions today, and I know how much of this time of year, I know how much it excites you. I need to know what it is. Why? What is it about this time of year that makes the bumps on your arm stand up, to have your brain turn on in full? What is it about this time of year?
Well, different levels, right? So I know you guys, you brought up Jamarcus Russell in the last segment. I don't know why his name's coming into discussion, but
you know why, Jay. Yeah. Yeah. Just being mean.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to lean to the right here. If you look at the picture behind me, This was a pass that was completed, a winning pass that was completed by Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Raiders. And when I see that, and people talk about playing quarterback and who can do this and who can do that, this is part of the job requirement. You know, this is not a pretty sight. It's a pass that had to be completed, and somehow this joker found a way to complete it. And that's largely what the NFL is made up of. So you ask me what I get excited about. I was just talking to my wife about it. I'm getting excited about the end of games now because I've got guys who are matriculating to that spot. And I was saying to her, I said, you know, in the past, we'd watch the end of this game and we'd say it's the end of a preseason game, blah, blah, blah. But now I can look at that screen and I know there are folks just screaming and hollering, calling everybody that they know. There are quarterbacks at the end of that roster, third, fourth quarter, first preseason game, trying to make great decisions, trying to possess the ball, trying to move the team, knowing that they're putting the film on tape. So that excites me more than it used to. At the high school level, you'll go to the college level, just the volume of work that those guys have put in leading up to this time. And some of them still competing for jobs over these next 2 weeks on a daily basis. And somebody's going to get the keys to the car, and I'm excited for them. In the past, I could look at a TV game and go, that quarterback was trash or he wasn't that good. But now, knowing these guys and knowing how hard it is, I'm pulling for every completion that they can possibly get. And then at the high school level, it's just their time, right? They have these dreams. They have this vision. They're putting in this level of work. And then you're excited to see them get the keys to the car and hopefully they get their teams in the playoffs. You're watching guys really drastically improve in short periods of time, which young players can do once they learn how to study and prepare and do that thing. And then from the youth perspective, you know, that kid fighting for a job. You know, hey, I want to play quarterback, but they made me a tight end. I'm like, welcome to the club. Now, are we going to figure it out? You know, so all of that stuff gets me excited about this year. Most excited is that this year I have a high school coaching arrangement that's going to allow me to get out and see more of my guys. I got to spend some time with Billy Edwards at the University of Maryland Friday at their practice. I'm going to make some arrangements to get to Charlottesville, to get to Norfolk, to get to Myrtle Beach. I'm going to make some arrangements to get to Dickinson. I'm going to really try to see all my guys this year because I've been training them for years, and we got a new wave coming. And I got my guy. I got to give a shout-out to my guy, D-Pav. DL, Daniel Laposka, University of Delaware. He's doing some outstanding things in camp, and I'm really proud of him too. So I'm excited as can be, man.
You did a really good job of capturing all the places you're going to be this fall, but you forgot one.
No, that's done. First game, I'm there.
Okay.
Yeah,
we just talked
about that. That's
listen, man, I mean, there are folks. Folks that, listen, when is BT coming to Lincoln?
And by the way, I'm not going to make it in and out. I'm going to make some time and, you know, get familiar with O Street and the market and all that stuff and the hotels and the lounges and all that kind of good stuff. And hopefully there's a testicle festival, you know, maybe a run up for the. Yeah, I know there's some festival going on in Lincoln. Lincoln's full of festivals now.
Yeah, that's the one place I'll send you by yourself. Hey, you go there and tell me all about it.
Hell yeah. I love it.
Through all of this, right, that there's a thing that there are parents out and there are players out there. Mm-hmm. Parents are listening, and they've got the young man who is there And as you said, he loves, he's dreaming of being a quarterback. And there is a line between talent and work. There's a thing that has to be identified, curated, et cetera, for young quarterbacks to become starting quarterbacks at whatever level and in whatever space they are in. What are those things, Barry, that will help you identify and help them identify whether the starting quarterback, because there everybody wants to play quarterback, but right. there's so much work required and right. so many skills that have to be developed. What are those things? What do you say to those parents? What should they be looking for? What should they be working on?
Well, the physical training piece is the easiest piece that everybody takes care of. So you want to do that, and you want to do it intelligently. You know, I'm not the only person that trains quarterbacks around that does a good job, but I think I do a pretty good job. So you want to get with a trainer. I think it's helpful to get with a trainer who really knows what they're doing and maybe has a track record of producing people that have been where you want to go. I think that's important. But beyond that, what's often not taken into account is it is critical that you have a fundamental understanding that your competition at the quarterback position is not fair. It's never going to be fair. You can make up 1,000 different reasons. You know, somebody's mom is dating the head coach. The head coach has the OC. It's his brother and his nephew's playing. It doesn't matter. Make it up. Anything that you want to make up. Maybe they just like this kid and they don't like you. It is always going to be unfair. So the first critical piece is to understand that you're not in a competition where if you're on par, that it's going to fall your way. So you have to understand what the standard is. That's the first part. The second part is understanding the volume of work that needs to go into that. So you need to begin to understand when somebody says, hey, I know playing quarterback is more than just throwing the ball. Okay, you said that to me, but do you know what that means, right? And you have to begin to understand what that exactly means. And then finally, because you're going to school and you have family, you have your faith, you have to rearrange your life in a certain way so that you can do the things that you're supposed to do, have a life, and at the same time, dedicate the amount of time that you need to this dream that you say. And then finally, you have to become an everyday guy. Right? It's your actions every day. Do they match your dreams? You can't kid yourself. If you say you want to be an all-state quarterback, then imagine what that looks like. What do you envision yourself doing? See where you are now, and then figure out what it's going to take to become that person. And it's going to be an everyday process.
You like to say this thing, and I think it sometimes gets lost in the sauce, that when someone says, I want to be a quarterback at the next level, whatever that level is, mm-hmm. you like to tell people, go and find somebody that you root for that's successful at that thing. Look at their roster and find yourself.
Yeah.
Do they exist in this? Is there some point of reference, something for you to mentally capture yourself in and right. say, hey, listen, if I'm 6 foot, 160 pounds, what do I see any of that at the next level? Does it work? If I'm 25 pounds short, I got work to do. If I'm 6'7" and 180 pounds, I know I got some work to do.
Yeah.
How do you identify that in the space that you have these conversations with athletes and parents? Because you say, well, they turned me into a tight end because they can find somebody on a roster
right.
with those coaches who look like you do.
Right. Well, you're talking – for me, you're talking a little bit about recruiting and then – the job itself. So yes, the recruiting piece, if you want to be recruited, you've got to look at rosters and understand that helps you peg where you should start. That has a whole recruiting thing. But I think the more important thing is to understand that success leaves clues, right? So one of the things about the position I'm in is because I have guys above the guys that are here, what I'm telling my current guys isn't what I did. Isn't what I thought was good in the 80s or the 90s or even the 2000s. I'm telling them what the guys just above them did, right? So they have a connection. This isn't an old guy telling them, hey, this is how we do it. I'm saying, hey, this is how these guys work. So if you want to get there, pay attention to how they do things. And I do a pretty good job, I think, throughout the year of making sure that my young quarterbacks can see my middle, the high school quarterbacks, and I make sure that the high school guys see the college guys, And I even make sure that every now and then I can cross scheduling paths with the youngest guys, with the oldest guys. I want them to have to be able to touch it, feel it, and see what it looks like and make it real to them.
How much of this is almost paramount that they see and have proximity to what they aspire to be?
I think it helps. And that's why we've done the Passing Academy for the third year. You know, because I just thought that was a really unique format. It's a poor man's Manning Passing Academy, right? He draws nationally. I draw locally, guys from the Big Ten, from the ACC, from the Sun Belt, from all the different levels. And I bring them in, and they're the counselors. And almost all of my quarterbacks, except like this past summer, except for Charles Mutter, came from within a 10-mile radius of that spot. So they got to really work with those guys, talk with them. And we even gave them a chance to, after the first session, to see those guys work out. So they got to see the counselors kind of do some things that they were just being taught by the counselors to do. You know what I mean? And yeah. I think constructing those activities for young guys are real important. That, you know, here's where they came from. You go, you played here. I'm sorry. You played here. You lived here. They walked these streets, the same thing. I think it's important.
Let me go through. Let's go through the list and list some of the schools that you've helped curate quarterbacks for. Because I think in the discussion, validation matters, and it is kind of a landmark. You plant the flag that listen. The work shows up in the result. So Give the folks some of the places that you've kind of crafted quarterbacks.
Okay. Well, I'll start with my former high school quarterbacks have been converted to tight ends. So we have Brian Courtney at Florida State. We have Tyler Savage at ECU, Tyler Redko at Campbell, Rye Yates at Yale. Those are the former high school quarterbacks that have converted to tight ends and all are playing, by the way. Courtney, you're going to see a lot out of him this summer with Florida State, and Rye has two Ivy League championships, I think. The quarterbacks, starting from top to bottom, we have Guy Myers, who played with the Carolina Panthers, 41 touchdowns, a game away from the championship game. And then there's Billy Edwards at University of Maryland, Tony Musket, University of Virginia. He's in a dogfight, but I'm biased about who's going to win that job. In the Sun Belt, we have Grant Wilson took them to a bowl game. Noah Kim, I think he's going to be the quarterback down at Coastal. That's the group of five. Where do we go next? We have A.J. Darr, who's at Frostburg. Charles Mutter is at Emory-Henry Division II schools. We have Nick is out at Carleton. I have Lance Bender is at St. Vincent. I have Presley Egbers is at Dickinson. I'm going to forget somebody here, but you get the feel. You get the feel.
Yeah.
One year, I actually had a quarterback at all six levels of college football. We don't have any JUCO right now, but we do cover everything except JUCO and NAIA right now.
And on the high school level, in the DMV, you've got starters all over the place.
Yeah, and by the way, I can't forget Daniel Leposky at University of Delaware. Dan Leposky is really doing his thing there. Yeah, at the high school level last year, we had 66 quarterbacks at 40 different high schools, and 18 of those quarterbacks took their teams to the playoffs. And then in the 6A state semifinal game, two of the four teams were quarterbacked by guys that we trained. And last year was the first year, I think, in about 5 years where we didn't have at least one quarterback in the state championship game. And I can't forget, gosh, see, I'm remembering now, Connor Berry at CNU. They're all coming back to me. It's about 25 in total. So.
And oh yeah, that Thompson kid that went to Penn.
Yeah, went to Penn. Yeah, he did a good job. He did a good job. Yeah,
you know that kid that lived in your house that won consecutive state titles. At Flint Hill, and then went to Penn. Not a bad resume there, Coach. Mm-hmm.
And while we're talking about it, I have another 30 guys playing youth football too. So.
Yeah, like future stars that will be recruited pretty quickly, I'd imagine. Bear, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about – this was a big young weekend, a young quarterback weekend in the NFL, and I want to talk about some of the things that make things work, things to look for these young quarterbacks who have – and there was a debate
Joe Milton to the top.
Straight to the conversation. Barry Thompson, DP, one-on-one on the ticket.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
One-on-One, 93.7 The Ticket. Barry Thompson joins us, Fairfax Football Academy. He'll be in town for that opening weekend. And there's some pretty good high school football both Thursday and Friday. Before the game Saturday, the Huskers game on Saturday. And then, you know, he wants to hit town. So I know that we have to take you out to Mary Ellen's. We'll probably have to take you to Soulful Casino, let you get some of theirs. We'll have to take you to Muchachos. Muchachos. Oh, you and Nick together is going to be that'll be a thing. Oh, man.
Isn't there a place called Berries in town?
Yeah, there's literally right around the corner. There's a club called Berries. We'll get your picture right in front of it.
Okay.
Like, hey, they knew you were coming, so they named a bar 45 years ago. There's the thing in place. Yeah. Hey, it's an interesting time, right? That the NFL is in it one of its cyclical moments where it kind of transitioned from a known deep group of veteran quarterbacks, and then the infusion of new age quarterbacks, new movers, new throwers, kind of. New systems, right? That new thinking that mobile quarterbacks have value and folks are starting to utilize them and at least setting to scheme around it. You were there in DC. You got to see young Jaden Daniels. So I'll ask you for a young quarterback in week one of the NFL preseason, what should we be looking for?
Well, you want to see him operate like a veteran, right? If you're going to get a first round pick or whatever, you put those guys out there, you want to see the classic veteran preseason drive, which is what he's 7-9, probably about 98 yards, moves the ball down. They either score or kick a field goal. You want to see that type of proficiency. That said, you got to understand these guys.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
As I'm figuring it out, I didn't get to see all the games, saw some highlights. And I think they did a pretty good job of showing you the troubles that the young quarterbacks had, along with the eye-popping talent that they had. And I think overall, DP, like I said, it comes down to not all quarterbacks are great at everything. So it becomes a matter of what are you asking them to do, and then what type of environment do they get to operate in. It's really unrealistic, I believe, to think that a guy is just going to be dropped from the sky and he's going to turn your franchise around. There has to be some things in place. And just my watching of the NFL, I think that there are very few coaches out there that can look at a quarterback or a group of quarterbacks and go, that's exactly what I want. And I think that's why you see a lot of this up and down thing. Make no mistake about it. Any of these guys, any of those 32, they're the best in the world. I don't care what you think about them. If you got up close to them, they would throw the ball better than you've ever seen the ball thrown before. But that is not the game, right? It's all the other stuff. And just the really realization that not all of them are great at everything. So are you doing things that play to their strengths? And are you surrounding them with people that can accentuate their strengths? I always use the Bengals as a great example. Joe Burrow is really good, but the Bengals were not good for a long time. But suddenly when they got Joe Burrow, that whole organization became smart. I remember when they went out and got the receiver, everybody was saying they need to get a lineman, right? They need to protect Joe. Mm-hmm. Well, another way to protect Joe is can he have somebody that's open when he's ready to throw the ball, right? And that costs a lot less money than maybe going to get these linemen. So they work that problem, and it seems to fit him. Now, that's what you're hoping for these young quarterbacks are showing promise. Can they be asked to do the things that they do really well? And you know, are they surrounded by the things that really help them be successful?
Through all of it, we've talked about the things that you could do for young quarterbacks. And a lot of the conversation here in Nebraska, one, arm talent, and there's the phrase that's being used about Dylan Raiola, arm talent and quarterback IQ. Mm-hmm. The returning quarterback in this situation is Heinrich Harburg, and they've talked about the mechanics of a large quarterback, a run-first quarterback, and what they're trying to work on to make him a better passer. In that space, is it how uncomfortable and how unlikely or likely is it to maneuver and change mechanics of a quarterback who's thrown away for how many ever years he's been at quarterback?
Right.
To turn him into the type of quarterback that fits and runs in traditional offenses in the Big Ten Conference.
Okay. Well, just on the mechanics question, I'll quote Mike Tomlin. There are plenty of people that are capable, but there are a few that are willing.
Hey, brother. Oh, amen. Yeah.
Okay, so changing mechanics is really not that big of a deal. It takes some work. It takes letting go of what you're comfortable with and just saying, hey, I'm buying into this process. Josh Allen is a great example. Just on a purely completion percentage basis, I didn't understand why he was picked, right, because he was under 50% in college. He carried that over to his first year, and then Josh went and got some help, and he became Josh Allen. So it can be done, right? There are a lot of people that are capable, few that are willing. So you've got to teach mechanics in a way that makes sense, that's repeatable, you know, and that can be practiced, not just coached. Those are the key things with me with mechanics. Now, if he's not a runner and you're trying to make him a runner, that's a different deal, right? Mm-hmm. That's a whole different deal. I think one of the toughest things to do is to coach against the personality of a quarterback, right? Some quarterbacks are real aggressive every time they get the ball. They want to go score. It's kind of tough to hold that back, but you know that's what they're aching to do. They're aching to find the play. They're aching to move the ball down the field. So you can make a quarterback like that. Think like Brett Favre, right? Brett Favre was a guy, he wanted to go score that ball, right? And you have a tough time coaching against that personality. You have other guys that are more precise and getting things right and being there. Think a little bit more like Brock Purdy, right? Really interested in doing this and doing that, but he'll give you something, right? But he's going to work the game a certain way, almost like a checkerboard. You get the feeling when you're watching him play that he knows that one completion setting up another completion, which is going to set up a play. And they're just different. So I wouldn't try to make a runner, a non-runner into a runner, but I can get a non-runner to give me 5 yards on a good decision, right? If he has some type of option read and he can follow blockers and make a good read, he can give me 5 yards. I like 5 yards a run.
I would ask this question in a serious sense, but I know you well enough to know I'm not going to get a serious answer. I'll preface that up front.
Okay.
But can you change the zebra? Like if somebody is deeply rooted in being a physical quarterback,
right,
and to turn him into a cerebral quarterback, how much work, how much teeth pulling, how much de-skinning is required to turn a run first quarterback into a pocket quarterback, or are we just really being silly?
No, it happens over time, but I think, was it where Rogers said, some of us learn by seeing, a few of us learn by reading, but most of us have to pee on the electric fence ourselves.
Yeah. You know?
So yeah, I mean, you look at guys like Vic eventually learned that, hey, there's a different way to play the game. You know, there are runners. John Elway eventually learned there's a different way to play the game. But their athletic ability in those cases are so much a part of what they're doing and an easy way for them to get things done that it really takes some doing to say, okay, young fella, we're not going to last too long if you're doing this. And we need to study a little bit more. We need to understand a little bit more and working on that. But yeah, it's tough coaching against a quarterback's personality. It really is.
Can coaches make a decision? And here's what's happening here. There was a conversation this week, and Huskers had a closed scrimmage. And then the question over competition, you know, everybody's kind of learning their way. You're 2 weeks from opening day, opening night. If and you have a one-year quarterback and then you have a freshman, a true freshman quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having a competition, ideally, when do you need to have your number one, especially considering that if it's the freshman, there are things that you need to install to right. get him prepared for week one. Right. What's the ideal time to make that decision? What's the drop dead to, you know what, I got to know who my number one A is and get him to work.
Right. So there's the depth chart and there's the rep chart. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that pretty soon the rep chart is going to change. Okay. So it's increasingly common when there's a feel for a competition. I've been to two or three schools where this has been done, where they alternate who gets the one reps that day. But I would imagine that period is rapidly coming to a close. So it's the rep chart which we don't see that I would pay close attention to. That will start to tell you everything.
So
go ahead. Sorry.
Through that, like there's the verbiage, right? All the communication stuff and the difference of being able to understand. One, you're familiar with the stadium and how to get in and what the reps are going to look like, what the pregame is going to look like. But then the communications part of it and being able to get a freshman quarterback prepared for 90,000 fans.
Yes. Yeah.
And an opponent who, quite frankly, wants to embarrass you. It's their one shot for fame.
Yes.
And they're going to take their shots. How much time is it for a young freshman quarterback to prepare themselves for their first start?
Well, they're not going to be prepared, right? I mean, unless he's played in front of 90,000 people before, he's not going to be prepared for that. So it's what I like to call game slippage, mm-hmm. that you can see a certain level of things being executed in practice and just understand that you can kind of expect that not only him, but other guys that are getting their first start in front of 90,000, there's going to be a little rattling going on, but you hope that the volume that the training takeover, right? That you've done it so many times, you've held them to the exact standard, they've been going so long that after that first little bit, they'll settle down and it'll become football to them. And then that's when it really matters. You know, you asked me last time, the improvement season or the 2 weeks, what matters? And I said, all of it, right?
To me,
they're both sides of a cornerstone that you put down. And so, yes, you know, some dirt can shake loose that foundation. You have to go back and clean it back up. But as long as that angle is at a right angle and everything's square, you can get back to building off of that.
Barry Thompson, this is a big one, right? That when you talked about depth chart and rep chart.
Right.
But when does the depth chart become complete in full? You're 2 weeks out.
Right.
When do the ones have to know? When do the twos have to know? Because quite frankly, coaches can't really sink their teeth in until they know who the ones are and the ones know who they are.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's what I was saying. About 2 weeks out or maybe 2.5 weeks out, that rep chart will change. It won't be, hey, Bob, you take the ones a day, and Phil, you take the ones the day after that. I'm saying that the rep chart will start to tell you at what point those coaches kind of go in. I think decisions have already been made. And, you know, and so I would imagine right now, what are we, maybe beginning of next week, right, mm-hmm. would be a time where there would be a new rep chart. And instead of being alternating ones and ones, now you'd have some rep scheme of four reps for who's going to be the starter, two reps for who's not going to be, and then you're having a conversation with the other guys.
Before we go to break, I'll ask you this one, because the other part of it is the injury aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And you're nursing, right? You're trying to get people ready.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point do you have to know that they're going to be ready? Is this a kickoff opening day sort of, hey, listen, if that Saturday at 3 o'clock, you're ready for a 6:30 game, we're going to let you go. Mm-hmm. Does that work? Does the chemistry matter that somebody's gotten reps with the ones and somebody spent the last 3 weeks working with the one, and then here comes Saturday opening day and, hey, we're going to replace you. When does that have to happen?
Well, you want to have your bricks in a row for 2 weeks, right? That'd be great. As far as somebody having an injury and they're not in there, that's a talent thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're LT, I'm going way back, saying you're Lawrence Taylor. And you're not going to be ready till the day before the game. Everything's going to be okay. We'll get you in there, big fella, and we're going to rock and roll. So there's a talent equation to it and how important and how experienced that player is. But, yes, you'd like to have everything locked and loaded. You'd like to have your depth chart set up so you're getting those guys ready in case an injury comes about. You'd like to be injury-free heading into that first game. You'd like to have all that stuff, but that's just not the game that we play. Injuries happen sometimes in practice. Sometimes suddenly a guy goes down, the next guy's been ready. And the guys that are in those positions on the depth chart, they've been told that the whole time. At this level, with this much training, it's not a surprise as to what your role is on the team. So the part of the program is making sure that when somebody goes down, there is a guy ready to step in and ready to go. And who knows? The guy that's being held back, right, because there's a start in front of him, maybe he's the next guy. Maybe it's his Wally Pipp, you know, his Lou Gehrig moment, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes in, and now it's his chance, and he solidifies that. That's what you're hoping. That's what the competition is for. That's what the recruiting is for, is to build that kind of redundancy into your positions, your program, and execution, so that if somebody goes down, we have another guy ready to go.
That is going to be literally the next question, because you lose your left tackle, and it's a big deal because he's
Wait a second. Oh, my stomach just hurt. You said the left tackle? I thought you were talking about the third man on the kickoff team. Hey, you didn't tell me you're talking about the left tackle.
Hey, bro. So when we come back and close that one-on-one, Barry Thompson, I'm going to ask you, what's going through the conversation? What's happening in the meeting, the coach's meeting, when your left tackle goes down? One-on-one, Barry Thompson, DP. We'll be right back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment with Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. We appreciate him joining us here on 93.7 The Ticket, One-on-One. Before I get to my last question, Harrison has been chomping at the bit to ask Barry a question. So, Harrison Orange, jump on in, bruh.
Yeah, Barry, I got to ask. Obviously, being a Bears fan, the hype is high right now. We got a little bit of preseason with Caleb Williams. Some things looked really great. What do you think of the Chicago Bears this season? You finally get a quote-unquote quarterback that you hope to fit the system. Do you got optimism for this team finally being able to figure things out with they try to load up on the offense, and now they get a quarterback from USC and Caleb Williams? What are you seeing for the Bears and what is looking to be a loaded NFC North?
I'll have to analyze a little bit better, but my sense is that the Bears organization kind of feels like they're operating together. And I think that's the most important thing if you're a Bears fan, that you have a sense that there's a plan in place and that you get the feel that the right players are kind of being put in place. You know, those early quarterback performances, I know they're exciting, but I have to go a little bit of, you know, a little Jay Foreman here, that we got to be careful about who they're doing things against and how they're doing it. Now, that part of it is a little technical piece that we can't understand unless we really understand what's trying to be done. Some exciting plays to be sure. Look crisp, look like he knew what was going on. I saw the highlight. Hey, goes through his progression, but we just got to temper it a little bit. But yeah, it's better to have them than not have them. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, amen to
okay.
that.
So let's be happy. At this point, what I would suggest you do what I do. I'm a Raider fan. Mm-hmm. It's been tough being a Raider fan. So if the Raider fans come up with a win in preseason, I'm shining. I'm gassing them up, and I'm going to enjoy it. And every win that they can get, I'm going to enjoy. But yeah, it looks like it's promising there. Of course, you got the weather he's going to deal with at some point too. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a good point too. Come from USC all the way to the cold Chicago lakefront.
He's a DC kid.
He'll be all right.
He's fine with Chicago weather. Like that's not that. Those are similar neighborhoods here.
Yeah. You guys are supposed to temper my expectations here.
No.
Let's go slow with him.
Barry, I'm sending Harrison to the ledge. I want him all the way on the cliff to have the full Chicago.
Okay. Bears. All right. Here we go. If they don't win the Super Bowl, Harrison, then he's a bust. Now I said what I said.
I want him on the roller coaster ride that is NFL football. If you're a Bears fan,
I can see him sitting there with his Dick Butkus doll just rocking back and forth.
That's it, bro. That's it.
With his Vince Evan mug, you know, getting a cold drink.
I'm getting him a Brian Piccolo jersey as we speak. We need for him to fully engage.
Brian Urlacher Crocs on.
Him all the way in. If I can find a Vince Evans quarterback jersey.
Gale Sayers, koozie, you know,
get him a Bobby Douglas hat. Yeah. Let's go. He kind of looks like Bobby Douglas, so that probably would work. Hey, Barry, one final thing before we go. And again, you know, I appreciate you breaking it down for us, but it's that time where the Huskers get the terrible news that they lose Teddy Prochazka. And, you know, we've been talking about young quarterbacks. We're literally talking about young quarterbacks and the need to have that silverback that defends him and protects him from the blind side and allows them some comfort. And, oh, by the way, in trying to establish that perfect running game, having the big left boundary guy, same problem in that Henry Litovsky has been injured. Mm-hmm. Bryce Benhart, who could move and help them kind of sustain, Turner Corcoran hasn't been at practice, so they're expecting him back. You go and get Mascua, who fits in at left guard. You could put him next to Jenkins and allow them to run, but you still have to figure out what left tackle is. And, oh, by the way, still trying to identify what the culture of this Nebraska offense is going to be with or without those offensive linemen because you have a freshman quarterback. How many gray hairs have been added to the offensive coaching staff's head?
No, I mean, it's why you get paid the big bucks. We talk about the redundancy in the program. The thing about left tackles, though, is that true left tackles don't grow on trees. People have to realize that's a tough position. You're going to get an edge rusher, and there just aren't – those true left tackles just don't exist all over the place. So the line coaches do a great job of building in versatility among the people that they recruit and cross-train, and those linemen have probably been through that. So from that standpoint, there's going to be somebody ready to go. But, yes, you're losing two key cogs, and it's just a reminder, as much as we talk about the skill position guys, there's really no football without those guys that get down the trenches. And there's certainly, if you're going to talk about the passing game, it starts with protection. So, you know, it's going to be tough, but the Huskers are tough, and hopefully there's somebody ready to take their spot. And hopefully, that, like I said, the recruiting, the redundancy that's built into the recruiting, that they have some depth there that they're excited about. But, yes, it's not the way you want to go into 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the first game. You definitely don't want that.
So, the name of thought is Gunnar Gotola, 6'5", 295-pound redshirt freshman.
Okay. He passes the eye test.
Yeah, son of a high school coach. So we have that understanding. But listen, it's interesting times in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hopefully, these coaches got something for the ulcer, taking it down and getting the extra work. Barry Thompson, thank you, kind sir. We'll do it again next Monday. We appreciate you, brother.
Peace out,
Barry Thompson. One-on-one, we appreciate it. The Don't Punt Hour, DPE, Mornay Pearsonell, and then Chancellor Brewington. We'll carry you through, get you a couple hours extra. It's going to be a good night here on 93.7 The Ticket.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.